We're all quite jovial this morning.
Well, it's Fat Friday, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Next week, I'm having 7 days of it. I really am. I'm just going to eat absolute garbage for 7 days.
Is that because you've been so focused this week? Because, I mean, yesterday for breakfast, you had a full English.
Well, I didn't eat it all because I can't.
Oh, that's right.
It's bigger than my belly.
That's
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No, it's because your body clock gets kicked off kilter, doesn't
it? It does, to be fair. When you start doing these hours, it does change your whole... Without being too graphic, it changes your whole system, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Things happen at different times to when you might expect.
I would imagine that if Chris was in New Canada for a month, you know, second weekend, I'd be all right.
Yeah.
But because I'm only here for a week, it's quite difficult to get your routine
down. You're dipping in and dipping out, and it's more difficult, I think, for
Let me move this screen. Hang on. There
Hello.
You go. Oh, what a ray of sunshine.
I love Dave's body clock. We can literally, like, time everything by Dave's body clock.
Yeah.
Same time every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I'm quite regular, but that's a good thing, though.
That is a good thing.
Off he goes with a daily start.
No, oh, no, I don't do that. I don't like reading papers on the loo.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, I find it a bit grubby.
Yeah.
And also, then I hate the idea of them reading a paper that someone else might have read on the loo.
Oh,
that's grim, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Like, when people leave newspapers in lavatories, do they expect someone to pick it up and go, oh, I'll leave this?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a service. I'll leave my old paper behind because I know someone else will want to read this. So,
I mean, sometimes you walk into the gents here and there'll be a discarded copy of The Star or The Sun or worse, maybe, you know, Nuts magazine or something, which, again, is not something I want to read in the loo.
No.
Do you know what? They get discarded.
I think that's if you're going after chappers.
Yeah.
They get discarded and left in the ladies as well.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So I know that men go in there and use it because, let's face it, ladies, we wouldn't have the Daily Star in the loo, would we?
All the men...
Like, hello, or okay.
All the men at Radio 1 use the ladies' toilet.
They do.
Because it's cleaner.
Hang on, whoa. Only Dave uses the ladies' toilet.
No.
Who else does?
Many, many people.
Which one do you use, Vern? Do you use the ladies'?
There you go.
I use whatever's available.
Yeah.
I've even been known to use a shower.
What?
Really?
Did I just say that?
At Radio 1?
Well, yeah.
You went seriously?
Not. I didn't sit down a la French. Crikey.
I had to have a shower in that shower. You've weighed in that shower.
No, but listen, let me... It's only...
Hang on. Let's write the story now so the tabloids don't have to.
Let's just send this one out.
The nation was shocked on Friday morning.
No, let me explain myself.
6:35.
Let me explain myself. Good morning to you. There were some plumbing problems in the lavatories. I think it was the situation. Remember when Scott got locked in?
Yeah, there was a blockage, wasn't there?
He got locked in, there was a blockage, and there was nothing available. Mm. And we only had, like, 30 seconds left on a track, so I nipped in, nipped out.
Mm.
I'm shocked.
Kept the shower running.
You need them.
That's fine, then. Keep the shower running.
Yeah.
You need one of those nappies we were talking about earlier in the week.
Oh, let's not go there. We don't want to make the headlines again.
See, I've weed in the shower, but only while having a shower, which I think is more acceptable.
You shouldn't...
Yeah, but
you should never wee in a shower that isn't your shower, though,
should you? Ages ago, like, you know...
Communal. Hang on a minute. Let me set the scene, all right?
Yeah.
Let's say both lavatories are locked. Where do I go?
Upstairs.
Second floor.
I haven't got a pass, so I couldn't get back in.
You should... Ask Claire on reception to let you back in.
Claire's not in on a weekend.
Oh, whoever's there. Under no circumstances. We in the shower.
I use that
better
shower.
Better than doing it around the back of the vending machine.
Yeah, listen. What would you
wouldn't do that again, will you?
Because it's better than doing
Nelson it. Nelson call you.
It's better than doing it football toilet style and in the sink.
Mm, yeah.
Thank you.
Right? Now that's, you know, that's unsavoury outside of sport.
Mm. Well, we've shared a lot there, haven't we?
I think we share too much, to be honest.
I think so, possibly.
When you've got to go, you've got to go.
Not in the Radio 1 shower.
Well, I'm not going to do it in a plastic cup.
And you know that boys do that at uni.
Stop it.
In halls of residence, when you get your little... There's normally like a little, isn't there, basin thing. And you know that all the boys weigh in that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to dedicate the last maybe 3.5 minutes to every trucker out there who's got a little potty. When they're bombing down the M6 or the M1, get the old plastic cup or the jug. You know, there's that they have in hospitals. If you're bedridden, sit down, put the old Johnson in it, and away you go.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't want to hark on about being short this week, although it seems to be a theme.
Mm.
But I've always found it quite difficult to use a sink for, you know, what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you're not that short.
Well,
You aren't Willie Carson.
But it's quite difficult because I'm not really built for it. And you have to get right up on tippy toes.
Yeah.
And it's quite awkward. See, I would imagine you would find it easier because you're kind of coming at it from the right height.
Dev, let me tell you, it's all in the technique. What you got to do is step back.
Mm. What, and up and over?
Up and over.
Pretend you're putting out a fire.
Yeah. Are we really discussing angle on 6:38? It's just wrong.
I tell you what, but trying to get that right, especially in the morning, is hard work.
It is. Anytime.
There's miming going on that you do not want to see.
Good morning, it's 6:38, BBC International Radio 1. I think we'll stop this chat.
Yeah.
We'll bag it up. And we'll reopen it, not literally.
Yeah.
We'll reopen it when 50 walks in.
Yeah, but just
to conclude, that's why Carrie, the men often go for a sit down wee first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
Paul in Plymouth. Do you know the show started? Kelsey in Bristol. You know it's good to wee in the shower. Your pee kills bacteria on your feet.
There you go.
There you go. Bazooka that veruca with a gallon of urine.
Is that some kind of link to jellyfish sting type?
John in Bath. I'm eating my breakfast. sorry, John in Bath, but you know you've done it yourself. Just put those there.
I can't wait to ask Fiddy. Do you wee in your sink?
Yeah.
A little Fiddy whittle.
I can't believe you got the ump. Where am I going to go?
There's actually one just the other side of the security doors. You could go there. Just borrow somebody's pass.
There you see, there's the rub. I don't have a pass.
Well, we need to get you one then.
Take your mobile phone.
Yep.
Let you back in.
No signal.
Oh. Do girls not wee in the shower?
No.
Ever?
Hang on, no. Dave. What I'm trying to do is dig myself out of this pit.
Sorry.
I had no other option than to go in said area.
I think as long as you keep it running, I think you're
exactly.
All right.
Exactly. It's fine. Rolf Harris drinks his own urine.
Pardon?
You see?
What?
Yes.
You've had the dream again and you think it's real.
I've read it somewhere.
Does he?
Does he? Clean joke.
No.
It does.
I used to have spots when I was a teenager. My nanny said if you have your first wee in the morning and dab a piece of cotton wool on, you know, wee onto a piece of cotton wool and dab it on your skin, and it's very good for spots.
Apparently. So I use Clarisol.
Because it contains pneumonia. Would it do that?
Not ammonia. Ammonia. Or TCP, don't
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, good morning to the nation. Yes, we are live on air. It's 6:40. Dom, do you have a good day yesterday?
I did have a good day. I did more logging. I had to move...
Let's not go back to that conversation.
No, I had to move logs we've had delivered. Right. So I had to move them from the front of the house to the back of the house.
And all done now?
No. They're still under tarpaulin.
How much did you order?
Half a truck. So there's quite a lot still to move. There's about 5 wheelbarrow loads still to do. But it's very cold yesterday.
Do you feel physically fitter?
Not really. I've hurt my leg a little bit. If I'm honest with you, just around the car.
I'll tell you what is good, though. When you've got the logs in the carriage and they're all dry, and then you get out your axe.
Exactly.
And then you start chopping wood. I love that.
Mm. You feel like a man.
You're a real man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the following morning, when everything aches.
Yeah.
And you can't lift up your cup of tea.
Mm.
Nightmare. Carrie, what did you get up to yesterday?
I had a day of eating. And
healthily. Pasteurised.
Ish, apart from the chocolate fudge cake that Rachel and I may have shared.
Well, that's all right. Oh, yeah, the girls had a day out yesterday.
Yeah. And then we had a nails done.
Let's have a look at your nails.
Wow, nice nails.
Yeah. My feet, because I can't reach them
very
well.
Right, let's have a look. Good.
It's wicked. That's the colour, just in case you were wondering.
I've gone for Bermuda shorts is my colour on my toes, just to kind of get the summer going a bit.
Bermuda shorts?
Yeah,
surely Bermuda shorts are any colour.
They're a mixture, aren't they? Like a rainbow. Rachel, what was the topic of conversation whilst you were having your nails done?
Oh, God, we were talking about everything, weren't we? Mm.
Together or with the nail lady?
I was sat having my hands done and Carrie had her feet up, getting her feet done, and we were talking about everything from Christmas, the people walking past the shop, and singing along to Christmas music, because they put Christmas music on in the shop. And it was only us two in there, so it was good fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a pedicure or manicure, Dave?
Never.
Really?
Yeah.
You should try it.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you had one?
Yeah.
Have you?
This is a very open conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
You've had a manicure and a pedicure.
I've had a manicure and a pedicure.
Wow.
It's a little bit it's not famous anymore, really. But your man from... who sang the theme tune to Mission Impossible? Kind of modern-day punk band. Fred Durst. And his
from Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit, yes.
You've had a pedicure with Fred Durst.
Not with him.
Right.
By
him.
For you.
No! Hang on a minute. That's another story. And I've never done that. We were on holiday, and he said we were in America in the hotel, and he was there by the pool, and over a period of 5 to 10 days, we got chatting, and you know, had a few drinks by the pool, and he said, oh, you should try the pedicure and the manicure, and it's quite good. So for a man on the road, because he doesn't like flying, so he'd driven from Los Angeles to Miami.
Right.
So, I thought, you know what, I'll try it.
He's a former tattoo artist, and was he not in the forces as well, Fred Durst?
I think he was.
He
went out with Britney Spears, and then his career went downhill.
Mm. It's very good for you to have it done.
It is, because...
I know men who've had it done.
I'm going to put myself into an even bigger puddle here. Mm. If your cuticles...
Yeah.
If your cuticles get too long, it's bad for your fingers.
Really?
Which bit are they?
You know that little bit of skin that comes forward that you have to push back?
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, if you don't keep pushing it back, it gets infected, I think.
Does it?
It's bad for you.
You're meant to push it back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My nails are awful at the minute.
Well, that's why you should go, you see, because I've got really manky feet.
Yeah, but I bite my nails, and I try... It's something I've always done, and then I try hard not to, and I go through phases where I don't bite them for a while and they grow, but they're really awful again. But they've got... Have they got coal dust underneath them as well?
Well, that's not very nice, is it?
I bet you, right, I will bet you the money in my wallet, which I think is about £6.50, that 50 Cent has regular manicures and pedicures.
Oh, yeah, without doubt.
Mm. I bet you think?
Definitely. Mm. Without a shadow of a doubt. There's no better feeling having your feet in that warm bath for about 15, 20 minutes and then getting all... My feet look manky.
Mm. I would imagine.
Absolutely. I don't like
manky.
Feet.
I've got bad feet. So, pedicure's good. Sort shows. So and I bet you that there's a lot of fellas who are listening who've had a pedicure as well.
Do you do that regularly then?
No, I've only had it done once, twice.
It is very nice.
It
you
is.
Could have come along with us yesterday.
Yeah, you should have gone, Fern.
Mm.
Or Fern, perhaps we should call it.
Matt Fincham wanted to come.
That's why I probably didn't go.
Bernadette.
Hello, Bernadette.
Hello, Bernadette.
Hey, no, if I was to be a girl when I was brought into this great world, I would have been Lydia.
Really?
That's a nice name, Lydia. We've got friends who've got a Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
I like that.
And my brother would have been Stephanie.
That's nice, isn't it?
Aww. I would have been Erin.
Erin is lovely.
That's nice.
After Port Erin in the Isle of Man.
You've got a slight look of Erin O'Connor.
Do I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Marks and Spencers model.
Do you think?
A little bit. Same eyes.
Yeah, same eyes.
Oh, I don't know where this conversation is going.
Or
what I ate last night, but let's move on. Yes. get your text in. 81199, please. And we may even ring some people back. What are you doing this weekend? Let us know. 81199. Thank you very much for your text. 81199 03700 100 100. We are going to open up the phone lines. Let's have a chat. Let's see what you're up to. I think we've already opened up a can of worms and we've opened up a lot to you this morning. I have, personally.
I think we've hit the ground running, really. We've covered an awful lot of topics already, and it's only 6.52.
Zoe says she's going for a manicure tomorrow, and she can't wait. Vern, I have a pedicure every 4 weeks. In fact, I'm due one tomorrow, says Chris, the trucker.
Seb Thompson in Stratford says he's off to see Paranormal Activity tonight with a big gang of them.
Scary film.
Shout out to Matty and Dixie. Also on the text, hello Vernon, I'm off to clip out my horses on Saturday so they're looking and feeling beautiful for Christmas, says Tash in Devon. I'm not fully aware of what that means, but it sounds lovely.
I think that's a trim and a shave and a nail thing, isn't it?
Is it? So it's like a horse pedicure.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Scotty the Posty in Widnes, is this loose women? Guys, get a grip. What can you say? That's my fault.
Carrie, just being honest.
Where's Carrie?
She's next door.
Carrie, come in quick. Well, don't run. You might have a baby.
Mm.
Take your time. Someone help
the
with
door
the doors.
For her.
Yeah, good lad, Dave. Always a gentleman.
You sit down, love.
Carrie, text from Dan in the van.
Yep.
What time is the World Cup draw?
Half past five this evening.
Half past
five this evening on BBC Two and on Radio 5 Live. You can keep across it all live. And on the BBC Sport online as well if you can't get to radio or your telly.
We're talking to Mark Lawrenson as well. He's going to be giving us a rundown on the draw and where we've been seeded and who we could come up against, the possibilities.
He can give us a best case, worst case scenario in terms of how the draw might go.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to predict right now that we will draw France.
I think we will.
We will, without a shadow of a doubt, draw France. So get your text in 81199 or 3700 100 100. Come and join the fun on BBC Radio 1. It's 6.53. All-time law, damned if I do ya. There you go. Text, Dave.
Morning, Vernon. Actually, says morning, Veron, but it's should be Vernon. Just setting off to do a tax exam. We'd rather be at work, so going to party this weekend, says Vicky in Rochdale. And I'm going off to the clothes show in Birmingham with my boyfriend and friends. I can't wait. Roll on the weekend, says Ellie in Swindon.
It's clothes show live time.
Is it? I didn't know that.
That's where it all began for me.
Is it?
Hedonistic days, yeah.
Is that where you were first discovered?
Yeah. Bunking off work.
So what, where
I can say that now.
Where should you have been?
Was several years ago.
Were you a school caretaker at this point?
No, phone boxes at that
phone boxes. And you went off, you bunked off that and you went to the...
No, I was sick. I was ill, but I managed to kind of rejuvenate myself enough to go down to Birmingham and close your life with the boys.
And then you were discovered, and then you were a supermodel after that?
Bazooka that Veruca was, I think, the heightest of heights that I got to.
I think that's where we first met.
Yeah. Not at the close to life, because me and Moz weren't modelling, but I think we met you during your early modelling days. Yeah.
You weren't there that year,
No, no, no.
Hi, Ellie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ellie.
You
all right? Yeah, wow. 100 mile an hour. How are you?
I'm really excited.
It sounds like you are.
I'm speaking to Vernon Kay. That's so cool.
Oh, Ellie, what do you do for a living?
I work, I'm a milk lady.
Brilliant.
Oh, I've never known a milk lady.
I'm a milk lady in the lovely county of Cornwall.
Oh,
beautiful.
Whereabouts? You've got the best job ever.
I'm delivering in Bude. Do you know Bude?
Oh, yes, I go surfing there. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's not lovely at 4 o'clock in the morning. No. It's very cold.
All right, hang on. Let's get some details. So Ellie, it's now 7:02.
Yeah.
What time did you start?
3 o'clock this morning.
You started at 3 o'clock this morning. Now, do you pre-load your milk floor? Did you do it last night, or did you do it first thing in the morning?
First thing this morning. It takes me about 40 minutes, because quite a lot of milk. I got about 300 customers a day.
Right, fab. And do you do, milk?
Do you do yoghurt?
Yeah, yoghurt, orange juice.
Yeah, we do
cream.
Yoghurt.
Cream.
Bread.
Eggs.
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Odd newspaper for an old lady.
No, we don't. I don't do the newspapers. That's the newspaper man.
I know, but you never know. You know, you might kill two birds with one stone. There might be a little old lady down some craggy old dirt path.
Because milk suppliers have diversified, as you've proved, with potatoes and yoghurt.
Yeah. All good.
Down there in Bude, are they gold top, blue top, green top? What do they prefer?
Gold top.
They're gold top. That's full
uber
cream,
creamy,
isn't
it?
Yeah, uber creamy, yeah.
Well, of course. Blue top. You mean blue top, yeah?
Oh, right, okay.
Well, what's gold
what's
top
gold?
Then?
I thought gold
gold's,
top was like
gold's
Jersey,
full cream,
like
yeah.
Proper full cream.
Yeah. I've never heard of gold top, but we just do like double cream, and like blue top is like the full pasteurized. Right. Then you've got semi skimmed, and then you've got skimmed.
Yeah. And then you've got. Do you do that grandma milk that they had in the mid to late 70s? You know, that horrible stuff.
What do you mean, like long life stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Cravendale or something.
Oh, vile.
Stuff you can keep for 9 years.
It never goes off.
Yeah.
No, we don't, I'm afraid. Ours has got, like, just about 5 days' date on it, but I deliver so often that they don't really need 9 years' worth of milk.
I used to hate staying at my grandma's.
Well, she always had long
life. For that reason. Oh, horrible milk. And she'd always give us cornflakes in the morning.
Mm.
And it was like,
But she used to... I'm going to see my grandma next week, actually.
Send her our regards. I'm sure she's a regular listener.
It's when...
Oh, no, she's deaf.
Okay.
That conversation.
Whoa.
That's all
way
right.
To ruin a chat there.
Well, maybe you could sign to her that Vernon Kay says hello.
I will do. I think she knows who you are. She's seen you on your, Family Fortunes, is it, or...?
Phew, yes, no, let's not... Yeah, don't embarrass me anymore. Yeah, Family Fortunes, that's the one. Thank you very much, Ellie. There is an interactive Wii game available if you...
Oh, she'll be into that, won't she?
Yeah, she'll... Moving on.
She'll love that.
Yeah. What's the other one you do? Is it Beat the
Beat
Star?
Beat the Star, yes.
I love that. That's cool.
Oh, thank you, Ellie.
I really like you. I think you're cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Ellie, you know what? If you ever get an afternoon off, you should come and deliver milk round my house.
Mm. Yeah. Can I also say I listen to Dev as well?
Oh, good. Yes.
And can people listen to him from 4 till 6:30?
Do you work for the BBC?
I know, you're incredible. You're like press office.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I should come up there and like appear on a show. I reckon I'd get lots of ratings.
Oh, I think you would, Ellie.
Mm.
I think you would. Is your float an electric float or is it petrol fuel?
No. I've got a petrol. I can do like 90 miles an hour, but I don't. Honest, I don't.
Well, I would imagine that you do 30 in an urban and 70 on the dual carriageway.
Yeah, well, if there is a dual carriageway in Cornwall.
Ellie, I like you.
I like you too.
Thank you very much.
All right, stop now.
Okay, Bob.
I like the other guy. guy as well. What's his name?
Chris Miles?
No. No, I do like him too, but I like the other one.
Greg.
No. Scott he's got Mills. A really nice voice.
Kid Jensen.
Allard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I like the guy that does, what is it called? Where you speak really fast and you link up all the things. Oh, what's he called?
Comedy Dave.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah.
Oh, is that you? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Ellie, you're one in a million.
You're a dude as well.
Thank you very much.
I better let you guys go now.
I think so. Go and deliver some milk.
Mm.
I will do. I'm going to be a bit behind, but it was very, very nice talking to you.
You know what? It was even better talking to you. You have a good day, Ellie.
All right, speak to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. Lovely Ellie. Oh, she's brilliant.
Isn't she brilliant?
Well, you can tell that she's been up. Like, because what you've got to think is she's been up since 3, right? So now it's 7, so that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She's already 4 hours into a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's bright and sprightly. She's ready to rock
and
roll.
She reminded me a little bit of Cheryl Cole.
Spectrum, opposite ends.
Me mum's downstairs making me a cup of tea. And I don't like Marmite on me toes.
News time.
Let's move on, because it's time to groove on. Hear the drummer get wicked.
No one has ever said that just before news before.
Here's Don with all the latest and Carrie with all the sport.
7 minutes past seven now.
She was brilliant.
She was lively, wasn't she?
She was very lively, and apparently she's been on Dev's show.
Mm.
And apparently Dev turned around to her at the end and said, you know what, you're great fun, why don't you try and get on other people's show? So therefore, she's obviously got on ours, and she's been on Edith as well, I do believe.
Oh, has she?
Yeah. And Greg, apparently.
Job done.
Really?
She's brilliant.
She's got quite a collection.
Yeah.
I think it just goes to show, though, that if you tick all the right boxes, you know, if you're bubbly, if you've got a lot to say, you're bright and breezy, and you're semi-intelligent, you'll definitely get on the radio. You know what I mean? That's how she's done it.
Yeah.
We haven't got her number. We didn't ring her back. She just ticks all the right boxes to get on live radio.
It's what we call a good caller.
A good caller. And good luck to her. With her big milk churns.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
No, it doesn't. We've got 50 Cent on the show today.
I know, how exciting.
Welcome to the weekend.
It is indeed. Thank you, Peter. So 50 Cent's coming in, the man behind his latest album, Before I Self-Destruct, the man behind basically everything. You know, he's got so many companies.
He's like an empire now, isn't he?
Yeah. He's in the latest film produced by Ashley Cole and Rio Ferdinand called Dead Man Running. He's on his European leg of his tour, or his promo tour. So he's coming in here for a chat. Nice.
What time's he in?
It's approximately 8:30.
Good.
So after we spoke to Chris in Uganda, we're going to flip the other side of the coin and we'll get 50 Cent in the studio.
Will he need to guess the gold now or will he be gone by then? I would imagine he's probably gone by then.
I think he's in and out, isn't he?
If he wants
9
to,
o'clock, something like
that. I think he's got a Westwood interview at 9:30. I saw that on Westwood's Twitter.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitter, thank you very much for yours yesterday, Carrie.
That's all right.
I got home yesterday. The girls are a little sicky-sicky poo-poo. So I went straight home. Cancelled a meeting, went straight home, and then I ended up spending the afternoon watching afternoon TV, which I've never done before, you know, because I have an Xbox and a family, so it's kind of quite difficult to watch afternoon daytime TV.
What were you watching?
Diagnosis Murder.
Were you?
Have you ever seen it?
The old DVD?
Not
with
for
the
a
old
long
DVD,
time.
Dick Van Dyke. Mm. Dick Van Dyke's in it. I saw this fella with white hair and a white tash, and I thought, he looks like Dick Van Dyke. So I went on the old Twitter, because that's, you know, first port of reference now, instead of Wikipedia. Is that Dick Van Dyke in Diagnosis Murder? Literally, thousands of people, where have you been? I've obviously not been around daytime.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke and indeed his son.
And his son's in it as well. And I've seen the actor who plays his son in the show, and I never realised it was, whatever, Van Dyke.
Van Dyke Jr.
What's his name then? Is he a Van Dyke as well?
I think so. Oh,
that makes sense, wouldn't it?
Like, well, Rick
Van Dyke. Dick
Van
Dyke is the executive producer of Diagnosis Murder.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I shouldn't say that, should
his
I?
His name's Don.
Don Van Dyke.
You just made that up.
Yeah. It's perfect for our
Dick and Don.
Mike Van Dyke.
Yeah. Dick and Don.
Fact.
Go Dick on, Google Don. It.
Oh, step in time!
Do they still show Quincy in Murder, She Wrote in the afternoons?
It tends to be murder in the afternoons wherever
you
go.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. I think those 80s kind of murder shows must be really cheap, so that's why they just stick them on.
Exactly. They're the ones that always have yellow credits.
Yeah.
Columbo and
ladies
stuff
in
like
big
that.
Shoulder pads and proper 80s old cars. Mm. Love it! Quality. Yesterday, some guy had his heart unblocked because he had a dicky ticker. Mm. And Dick Van Dyke's talking to him, says, right, we're going to operate. Following scene, he's up out of bed running around.
Dick Van Dyke with a dicky ticker.
That's
operation.
What happens.
His son?
He's a doctor, yeah? His son?
Barry.
Barry Van Dyke.
Yeah. It's seriously Barry.
Did he not play for Newcastle and live? Oh, no, it's Barry Venison.
Barry Venison, yeah.
Barry Van Dyke.
That's a great name.
Well, yeah, this guy had a heart operation, got out of bed, and off he popped. Not upstairs to heaven, but, you know. Mm.
To the kitchen for a brew. Yeah.
That's what happens when you know Mary Poppins, though. You know what I mean? Black Eyed Peas and Kasabian on Radio 1.
I have got a present for a member of the team.
Oh, right. Do we need to get the team in? Where's
Dominic?
Who might
that be?
Come on, Dominic. He's on his way. Let's just wait for
him. It's not is it?
As he comes through the golden doors of showbiz. Dominic Byrne.
Hello.
Go on then.
Dominic. It's not you.
Bye.
Bye.
Tell him, Dominic. There you go.
Told you. Bye.
Rachel.
Where's the journey?
It's not you. Comedy Dave. It could be you.
Ooh.
But it's not.
Vernon Kay. It could be you.
Ooh.
It is for Mr. Vernon Kay.
Told you. This is exciting.
I have a little letter for you.
A letter?
Yes.
Right, letter.
Dear Vernon, it's a bit too early in the morning for champagne, but you deserve a prize for winning the karting, and at least Dave can't eat this one. Lots of love from everybody at McLaren.
Hey! Tell me there's a brand new car outside, and the keys are in a little box.
There's a car of sorts.
And a little box.
And a little box.
Right.
But no keys. Well,
here you go.
Oh, brilliant!
That's nice, sir. That'll look good in your man room.
It will. And that's lovely.
It's a little mini Lewis.
It's a mini Lewis. And it's in the, I would imagine, it's the 2008 Vodafone McLaren Mercedes. It's got the MP4-23 chassis. It's got the Mercedes-Benz F0108V engine. He won 98 points, and he got 5 victories in Australia, Monaco, Great Britain, Germany, and China in said car. I love that.
Oh, that's nice, sir.
That's
nice.
Going in my office.
Proper little trophy.
Yeah. Thank you very much to everyone at McLaren.
Yeah. Mm.
If you have a spare one of those cars from 2008 just kicking about, then I'm more than happy to take it off your hands instead of you guys taking it to scrappers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You'd even consider a higher mileage version, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just quite like to see Dave try and eat that.
I love that. Thank you very much to everyone at McLaren for that. That's a lovely little gift.
Still owe you a bag of buttons, don't I?
Yes, you do indeed, David, and I'm not going to let you forget that.
That's fine. Do you know what? During the next 2 records out of the 7:30 news, I'm going to nip down to the shop on the corner.
Good.
I'm a man of my word.
Here's a random fact for you. Did you know that 50 Cent is a big fan of Brenda Blethyn? Let's go!
Riverside, let's go.
Let's go, Riverside.
Middlesbrough should come out to that, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Nice. Mm. To see what you've done there.
See, because at the moment they come out to Reach Up Pig Bag, or they certainly did. You know, Perfecto All Stars and all that. Maybe they should come out to
Riverside.
Let's go. Just an idea.
Let's go. Let's be Avenue.
You know what we haven't done? We need to do our Entourage sweepstake because Mr. 50 Cent, rather.
Who?
Mr. 50 Cent is coming in today about 8:30. And I would imagine that he will have people with him because that is his style. That's probably how he rolls.
That's the way he rolls.
So the game is we have to have a little sweepy amongst the team to work out how many people in his entourage. Will he have 3 people? Will he have 30 people? Will he have 12 people? Will he have 25 people? So, Vern, you start. What are you saying?
All right, I'm going to start. Now, from my experiences, my previous experiences of said rapper, said movie star, said businessman, Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent, I would say that his entourage today... Now, I've been following him on Twitter when I found out... After I found out that he was coming in, I thought, I'll follow him and see what he's up to. He's been on the European tour of his promo for his album, Before I Self-Destruct. So he's just flown in last night or yesterday from Milan.
So you've been checking the form then, in that
respect?
Yeah,
checking his form. So I would imagine, guaranteed, he's got five people with him, OK?
Mm-hmm.
Who he's definitely travelled over from the States with.
Yeah.
Then you'll have the British representatives from either the film company or the movie company. Being the festive season, I would imagine that he may have brought some extra friends and family over.
Okay.
I'll go for Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent's entourage today will be no more than 16 people.
Well, hang on. Is 16 your
That's
your
my
answer?
Guess. 16.
Okay.
I'll go 16.
So you're saying him plus 16?
No. Yeah. Him right. plus 16
Okay,
others.
Right. So 16 then for Vernon. Dominic, what are you saying?
Well, last time he was in, which was a long time ago, 2004, 2005, he had about 97 people with him because they were all lining the corridors of Radio 1. It was amazing. And I tried to say hello to every single one of them. They were all very friendly. I'm thinking it's nearer 20. I'm going to say 19.
19. Good guess. Carrie, Purdue.
Do you know what? I'm thinking, I think he's going to be quite relaxed. I'm going to go 8.
8?
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, I'm going 8.
Yeah.
It's 50 Cent.
I think 8.
Really?
I think he might have taken a step back and had a bit more, you know, be a bit more chilled out now.
Credit
crunch
and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Rachel?
I'm with Carrie because it's early as well. I think it's going to be 9.
Yeah, but
you're saying
hang on,
9.
Hang on, if 50 Cent's your boss... You're not going to stay in because it's early, are you? You're going to do what the man says. Yeah. He's a very important gentleman.
If you're a friend and you just tagged along, then you might not be bothered to get out of bed at
That's a good
o'clock.
Point. That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Mm. Do you know, I might trump on all of you and go 7.
Rather you didn't.
Don't do that.
Mm. I'm going to go for a low bet.
Yeah, but last time it was wall-to-wall
I know,
big men.
It's early, so that's what we've got. So, Vernon, you say 16, Dominic 19, Carrie 8, Rachel 9, and me 7. Find out how many people in 50 Cent's entourage when he comes into this show about 8:30.
I'll tell you what, when he came, the first time I met him on T4, he had the biggest, and I mean the biggest, bodyguards I've ever seen.
Mm.
Now, for anyone who's been to Bobby's and Busby's in Tenerife, right, along that front there, on Veronica's, there's two Russian fellas, or there were two Russian fellas who stood on the door of said nightclub.
Yeah.
They were the biggest fellas I've ever seen prior to meeting 50 Cent's bodyguards.
Oh, no, I've seen them. And when they came in last time, two of them looked like two massive American fridge freezers, but with baseball hats on the top.
It looks like the Eiffel Tower stood next to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They're that big.
Yeah.
Huge. So coming up on the show around 8 o'clock, Chris's last report from Uganda. 50 Cent is going to be with us. And let's not forget, it's Christmas time, so we are going to be opening another door on the advent calendar. Because today's date is what, Dom?
It is the 4th of December.
It really is. We're going to be playing Slade. But in the meantime, Dom, Carrie, sports and news.
7:34 now.
Had a little bit of frost on my windscreen this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't expect that because yesterday, Dominic, you said it was getting a little bit warmer.
It was warmer yesterday and then it dropped overnight, about 2:30-ish in the morning.
See, if your reports, weather reports were more extensive, I'd have known that.
I know.
And I would have put some old newspaper on my windscreen.
Mm. It was freezing this morning.
I didn't have anything.
Really?
No.
Have you got a garage?
No. Well, I have, but I can't get a car in it. It's full of boxes.
Okay. But what they've started doing now is you can get, you know, you generally on most cars, you can get a heated rear window.
Yeah.
You get heated front windows now.
It's the future.
Yeah.
Can you? That's a good idea.
Mm.
Why didn't they think of that before?
And you know the little wing mirrors? You can get those heated as well now.
Ooh, not got them.
I've got those.
You missed those. Nice.
I've got the heated wing mirror jobs, but I haven't got the front windscreen. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's quality. So it is December. It is the festive season. Every day throughout December, Chris and the gang will be doing their advent calendar where they get a message from one of our faithful listeners and they send their best wishes and big hugs to friends and family.
Hi Vernon and the team, my name's Robert Loveridge and I'm from Oxfordshire. Today's the 4th of December,
so I'm the fourth person on the Chris Moyles Advent Calendar. I'd like to say Happy Christmas to everyone at Adestra, my girlfriend Hannah Jones, Mum and Dad, and everyone on the team, because you guys always make the drive to work a whole lot easier. Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to everyone who listens to Radio 1.
Yay! Nice. Mr. Robert Loveridge. Here we go.
Yay!
In my eyes, the best Christmas record ever made. It's Slayer. So, as mentioned in the sports broadcast, which was beautifully delivered by Carrie, today is probably one of the biggest TV events of the year.
Huge.
Massive. An estimated 350 million plus will be tuning in to the World Cup draw. So let's have a little chitter-chatter about the World Cup draw with the one and only Mr. Mark Lawrenson!
Yay!
Morning, Mark.
Morning, Laura.
Morning.
Morning.
How do we find you? Are you well?
Just got up. My lad just woke me up and reminded me, Vernon.
All right, good old, good stuff. What's his name?
Sam.
Hiya, Sam. Good morning to Sam. Is he getting ready for school?
You are joking. He's on his computer. You're joking, aren't you?
Unbelievable.
He's a muggle, mate. He's a muggle.
How's life treating you, Mr. Lawrenson?
Dave, I'm all right. Thanks very much.
Good.
You?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Are you missing Fat Boy or not?
Well, you know, he's over in Africa doing a lot of good work.
Fat Boy.
And we eagerly await his return on Monday.
Right, so that's a no then.
He's horizontally challenged.
Have you seen him recently, though, Laura?
I saw him the other Saturday after we did Match of the Day. He was waiting for his better half at... he'd been to Strictly, hadn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So...
He shifted some beef, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
He's now half a fat boy now.
Yeah.
So, Mark...
Medium.
Mark, it's a big day.
It is, Vernon.
I'm going to quickly run through all the teams that are in the World Cup draw. You ready?
Go on.
South Africa, Brazil, Spain, Netherlands, Italy, Germany, Argentina, England, Australia, Japan, Korea, the Korean Republic, Honduras, Mexico, United States, New Zealand, Algeria, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay, Denmark, France, Greece, Portugal, Serbia, Slovakia, Slovenia and Switzerland. Interesting stuff, Mark. Interesting stuff. I feel like I got it out my system.
Good.
Let's talk about England's chances, really.
Yeah.
Do you think we will draw France?
Do you think so?
Definitely.
Well, I wouldn't really worry about that. I mean, they've only squeaked through because of the hand of Thierry, haven't they?
Yeah.
True.
I think the thing with with England being seeded means such a difference to them. The only thing in terms of the group that they play in, you wouldn't want to sort of get Australia. That might be a bit tricky, rather than getting New Zealand or USA or something like that, because notoriously in the group stages, everyone's a little bit nervy. Everyone's extremely fit, really well prepared, but in all honesty, I think one of England's biggest problems will be the altitude.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be, and it's a case of whichever pot they're drawn in, whichever group, it's a case of where they're going to play those games, and I think that's the thing with Capello. He wants them to be based at altitude, and they're saying that he might even just leave them there all the time and fly into different places to play the games and fly back out, because the further they get in the competition, I think I'm right in thinking that the semis and the finals will be at altitude, so I don't know that much about it, but they say it can be such a difference, even going from altitude and then to sea level, so...
I would imagine it's easier to go from high to low than low to high.
Yeah, I think so, Dave, but even then they say that there is such a difference that you have to get the timing right insofar as when you go, say, when you've been to altitude, then you go to sea level, you can't just sort of, they reckon you can't just sort of turn up the day before and you'll be absolutely fine. I think the British Lions found that. I think it was sort of quite difficult in terms of just getting enough days right to you know, get used to the alteration, used to the change.
Well, I would hope that whoever was in charge of the British Lions and any rugby team that's played in South Africa, that they would be in touch with the FA and find out what the real deal is.
Well, I think Capello is no stone left unturned, so it won't be like, you know, it won't be like Sven, where, we'll just turn up and, we'll stay in that hotel. Yeah, Wags at the bottom of the road, no problem. Yeah, that's all right.
and we should clarify that the problem with altitude, playing at altitude, is the oxygen is thinner. Is that right, Rachel? Because you went out Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, the higher you go, the harder it is to breathe.
Exactly. So, therefore, it would we'd find out how fit our boys really are, Mark.
Well, I mean, the thing about that, Vernon, that they will be super fit, but it's just actually, you don't know how each individual will react to the altitude, that's the thing. So, until they're there, we won't really know.
Who would be your... What for you would be a good group for England this afternoon?
The easiest possible one. Well, you want one or two nuggets, don't you? You want a New Zealand in there, and one of the African countries that have just scraped through as well. So, you know what it'd be like with England. They will get one easy one and one difficult one. It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
They're saying that there's the worst case scenario would be France, Ivory Coast, and the USA.
Yeah, that's a definite no.
And then obviously the best scenario would perhaps be Slovenia, Algeria, and New Zealand.
Yeah, so you know. Somewhere in the middle is where England will be, won't
you? Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of who they get.
It's a tough one. Oh. It really is.
Well, I think the thing is today, it'll really kick on then, the World Cup. Once the draw's made, then it'll suddenly, next thing is it'll be June and we're all off. Mm.
Do you like it? Is there a good atmosphere in the match of the day, Match of the Day office when you go to a big tournament like this? Because it's not the same, you guys not being there. Do you know what I mean? That's part of the whole frivolity of it.
Yeah, it's like a team atmosphere. It's a bit like when you used to play. It's that kind of thing where, you know, everybody mucks in and stuff like that. And yeah, it's good. I mean, even old lags like Hansen get semi excited. Semi.
Yeah, don't push it.
Well, I'm sure he knows that they do good wine in South Africa.
Oh, he knows that. Don't worry about that.
Has he done his research on that?
On the wine? I think it's a constant, it's an ongoing operation, Dave, I've heard.
And the golf courses, they're all right out there, aren't they?
Listen, he'll have Googled all them, no worries.
Oh, can you imagine?
I know.
Yeah, exactly. The draw takes place, BBC Two, at 5:15. Mark, the ceremony is going to be watched by like millions and millions and millions of people, and it makes you realise how big globally footy really is.
Oh, it's just absolutely monster. But then, you know, they've had these couple of meetings the last couple of days with FIFA, and still Mr. Blatter sort of knocks back the technology. He's made one or two sort of crowing noises saying, yeah, we'll look at it and things like that. But you know what, Vernon, if there's a major incident like happened with, say, Thierry Henry, or going back to Maradona all those years ago, if one of those... An incident like that happens with one of the big teams, we will have technology tomorrow.
It's such a shame, really, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Other sports laugh at us because it's a multi-billion pound industry, as you just mentioned, and yet, you know, if all you need for technology is in the goal, is in the penalty area, so, you know, fouls, penalties, handballs, was the ball over the line, dead simple, be done by the fourth official within 10 seconds, that's how quick the replays are, you'll probably get two by then. What is the problem? I can't see it.
Mark, with regard to the Thierry Henry handball issue, now, from a player's perspective, would most players not just carry on and just try and get away with it? And therefore, if you like, the fault here, you know, the fault lies firmly with the officialing.
Well, I mean, I was at the game, Dave. The problem with the officials is that they just didn't see it. So, I quite admire them for the fact that you can't give it. They obviously realised there was a rumpus when they were chased by every single one of the Republic of Ireland players, the referee. But if he hasn't seen it, it's a bit like cricket. If you don't think the guy's out LBW, the umpire, you can't give it. I think you've got to be 100% certain. But I think the thing with the Henry thing is his first touch of the handball, I think that's pretty sort of normal because he doesn't see the ball too late and that. But it's the second touch that really sort
when
of
he, when he flicks it back into play.
But what I'm saying is that with so much at stake, you know, financially, because it's massive, is qualification for the World Cup, with so much at stake, would you not just go ahead with it waiting to be blown up by the whistle? And if it doesn't happen, then you just think, well, do you know what, I got away with it.
I don't think in the split second he's thinking about France qualifying for the World Cup. I think it's just a natural reaction. It's his first touch. I can live with that. That's just the way it is. I think everybody would do the same. It's the second touch, though, that's the... It's like, yeah, you're having a laugh now, aren't you? Yeah. So, but, you know, it's one of those difficult things. Everybody's different. I think what really got my goat on the night, though, was after the final whistle, he went and sat next to Richard Dunn.
Yeah.
And he was almost very, very sheepish. If I'd have been Richard Dunn, I'd have just got hold of him by the throat and gone, yeah, right.
Wouldn't have happened
in your
day, Mark.
Richard Dunn, for not doing that.
You know what I mean? When shorts were real shorts.
Yeah. I'll give him vava-voom, bang!
Vava-gone.
Yes. I've still got the scars.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for joining us early in the morning. Really appreciate it. We'll be tuning in and we'll be looking forward to your coverage throughout the World Cup next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Mark.
Cheers, Mark. Bye. Top Man, live on BBC Radio 5 Live and BBC 2 today from 5.
I'm going to stop this because last time I spoke to Mark Lawrence and I said to him, I said, Mark, how do you think Bolton are going to do? He went, rubbish. Timberland on Radio 1. So Rachel Dave says she's found your perfect job.
Is it a glove model?
No, we were flicking through one of the tabloids today. Go on, Rach, you explain.
And found a supplement about sofas. I heard that apparently you can only really be a model, a sofa model, if you're short.
I don't like see Vernon, where, how this applies to
Vernon,
me.
Vernon, you couldn't do it, because if you're a short person, you make it look bigger.
So therefore, Dave, you've been going on about how short you've been feeling against me and Jake Humphrey. Perfect job.
Comedy jockey.
On a sofa.
I only feel short next to, you know, massive giants like you, but I don't think I'm abnormally short. I wouldn't look stupid on a sofa, would I?
No, but what we're saying is they employ people who are not 6'4" to lie on the sofas, and it makes the sofa look bigger, whereas actually it's not that big.
I see, for a minute I thought you were going to stick me right in the middle like Kermit the Frog with my little legs that can't even touch the floor, and that would look daft.
This is Breaking News on Liberty Broadcasting Services, 89 FM, HRZ, Jabunyaro.
Bit of Ugandan news, eh? Right, here's Don with the news, Carrie with the sport, Chris after this.
5 minutes past eight now.
So Kimi Raikkonen, was it?
Yeah.
He's doing
rallying to the World Rally Championship.
Why is he only doing 12 of 13?
I need to double check, but he's missing one race for some reason, but I don't know why. But they've announced in a statement they'll do
family members' birthday.
12
might have
13
a mate's
races.
Wedding or something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Prior engagement.
Barbecue,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Maybe it's a World Cup final.
Yeah.
You know. And he wants to watch that. So, Chris is in Uganda. That's why I've been here all week. It's our last report after Dizzy Rascal and Bonkers will be going live to Uganda. Him, Alid, our boss Ben, will be talking to them. And then from 8:30, after the news, straight out the news, 50 Cent will be here for a chat and a chinwag. Really looking forward to that. Not seen him for a long time. And then from 9, of course, as we do every Friday, well, as Chris does and the rest of the team, it's going to be the Golden Hour.
Let's welcome Mr. Christopher Moyle!
Hello from Africa,
Hello, hello.
How are you, Chris?
Good, I'm really, really good today. We've left Hoima, where we've been all week, and we're heading back to the capital, Kampala. We set off about an hour ago, excuse me, and so we've just stopped at the side of the road. You know, we've been scene setting all week.
Yeah.
It's literally, where you look now, it's really green and lush, and it's quite hilly, and there's just a bit of a it's a proper road, proper tarmac road, but there's not a lot going on here, but apart from lots of trees and lots of green, it's not massively dissimilar to when if you go to Ibiza and you drive up and over to the other side. Mm-hmm. It's not a million miles away from that. We could be anywhere now. We could be in Portugal or somewhere like that. It's, you know, not Russia.
How far is your journey then to Kampala?
Our journey today is 3 hours, which I think is 3.5, 4 maybe.
Okay.
It's relatively not actually that far, but every time you go through a little town, they have the most severe speed bumps you've ever seen in your life, and they really do work a treat. So you're driving at whatever 50, 60 kilometres an hour, and then you got to slow right down to nothing. So it's just like being back in London, but without the congestion charge. They don't have that here.
And how was yesterday? We know that yesterday was quite harrowing. You weren't looking forward to it.
Give us a beep if you're listening. Woohoo!
Do you remember we tried that before on the M62 and it didn't work?
Well, we'll try it. We'll see if anyone's listening. We're about an hour from Hoima towards Kampala. So if you're listening in your cars, Africa, give us a beep when you see us. Basically, it's the pasty white people at the side of the road with radio mics and a big satellite box. You can't miss us. So, all good. And are you, everyone all right there?
Yeah, we're fine,
we're all good.
You.
We're all good. 50 Cent in the live lounge, ready to go.
Is he in already?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's early. Good lad.
Tell you what, we gave him an opportunity of a lifetime a few years ago, and I said to him to buy Leeds United, and he ignored me, and now, look, we're riding high. He could have had a nice club there. He could have owned his own British football club, but, you know.
We've had a sweepy on his entourage, and Vernon went for 16, Dom 19, Carrie 8, Rachel 9, and me 7.
I'd have gone 8.
8. Well, that's what Carrie... We're still to do the final results, actually, because we think he might have another couple of people in reception, but we'll give you the final scores later.
Chris, let's briefly talk about yesterday, because
give us a beep if you're listening.
Hang on! Because you weren't...
rubbish!
They're not listening, no. Surprise, that. Funny, that. Because you weren't looking forward to going to the hospital to see sick kids with malaria?
No. You know, as you can imagine, it's been a very positive... week. It's been quite uplifting, and it's been really nice because we've been seeing a lot of positive things and a lot of happy things. And obviously, yesterday's trip to the hospital, you know, it's going to be fairly grim. And I won't talk too much about it, but it was grimmer than I possibly thought it would be. And Allard then went later on in the day. He had a nice morning, and I was going to the hospital. He had a nice morning. He was giving out more nets with Kimberly and Fern. Mm-hmm. And then Ben Cooper thought it'd be a good idea, our illustrious leader, if he took him to the hospital, so Allard got a sense of it for himself. So Allard's been writing a blog every day, which you can find on the website, and he went and had a look yesterday and just took a couple of pictures, and just showing the hospital from the outside, nothing too grim, but he basically just walked around and kind of soaked it up and wrote a little blog about it, which you can read. But kind of what you expect, really. I mean, you know, a very small little ward, you know... very overcrowded, and a conveyor belt of little babies who've got malaria just literally coming in. They stick a little needle in them and the babies cry, and then they kind of moved them to the next bit, and the wards were just massively overcrowded, and they didn't even look like wards. They just looked like rooms with a couple of makeshift beds in, but there were kids on the floor and kids on the bed and kids outside, and it was you know, and I don't have kids, and it was harrowing enough. But I mean, you know, for you guys, you know, it would have been, I think, quite difficult. But anyway, so we filmed that. That was my appeal film, which will go out in Sport Relief next year. It was grim, but on the other side of things, it's kind of that's why we're here, is to stop things like that happening. And All the bad stuff that we saw yesterday, in theory, it's all preventable. You know, those kids, in theory, if they do get malaria, they should be able to just go in, get the treatment, and then be out. But the problem...
There you go, a listener!
Come on, listeners.
A listener!
Hey! There you are. Hello. They love us out here, they really do. They love Family Fortunes, Vernon. Oh, the amount of people you walk around and they go, our survey says, they love it, they really do. So it was quite a dark day yesterday.
But you've got to see that, though, haven't you, to know what it's all about, don't
absolutely.
You? And yeah, I wouldn't imagine that you enjoyed it for 1 minute, but yeah, it's got to be done, hasn't it?
Chris, let me ask you a question, okay? You're giving out a whole...
By the way, I'm deliberately not... Sorry to interrupt, I'm deliberately not... telling you kind of what I saw in graphic detail, because it's quite, you know, it's there are things that we saw yesterday which weren't particularly very pleasant, and also I think when we chop it all up into a little report, I think it's going to be quite an eye-opener for a lot of people, because it was for me. And bearing in mind that the guys who filmed this, the camera guy and the sound guy, who do a lot, they've been at the hospital every day, because Gary went and Fern went and Kimberly went, and they do this a lot, and they were not in a good place afterwards yesterday. It wasn't a good trip. It was quite sad, it was quite dark, but again, this is what we're doing. We're trying to, you know, get rid of this malaria, which is causing it. Every kid in there had malaria. There was no one in there with a dislocated shoulder or, you know, a badly grazed knee. It was pretty much every kid that we saw had malaria. They may as well just call it the malaria ward for kids. That was the main problem. Some kids had malaria and pneumonia, some kids had malaria and something else, but it was just malaria all the time. And for some of the parents who had brought their kids to the hospital, of which the people that I met had travelled 50 miles to get there, they got on a bike, and then they got on a motorbike, I think. They literally borrowed a Thunder Lift, and they brought their kids there. Meanwhile, back 50 miles away, they've got two or three other kids, and they've all got severe malaria. But the one little fella, who's only three, he had it worse, and they had to obviously rush. So, you know, there's malaria in front of you. They've left malaria behind. Mm. It is just all over the place. It really is. And obviously for the little kids, it's worse, because it's hard for their immune system to fight it. So that was yesterday. It was grim, but it had to be done, it had to be seen, and you'll see the results. But if you want to have a look, we took a few pictures of the outside of the hospital and stuff. And you can see those on the website and on Allard's blog, which he's very proud about. He hasn't mentioned it yet, but, you know, he's pleased that he's been doing his He's
to be honest with you, it's we're pleasantly surprised at how well written it is. Alid's blog.
No, it's good. I think spell check is it. I think, you know, make sure there's no mistakes in it.
So. But let me ask you this, Chris. Okay, you're out there giving out a lot of nets, and with all the money raised, courtesy of the climb, you're giving away, is it 9,000 nets or something like that? If people use these nets correctly, and if they're put up correctly, will the queues in the hospital, will they be severely reduced by the amount, by the nets that you've given out, and by the fact that you're preventing mosquitoes from biting young kids?
Yeah, in theory, yes.
Yeah.
In theory, the mosquitoes obviously come out more at night, and the kids obviously... it's bizarre. We're on malaria tablets every day, anti-malaria tablets. Obviously, they don't have anti-malaria tablets here. They don't take them. They don't have mosquito repellent. Because, A, it's just not readily available, and, B, they'll be putting on every day. It would be quite bizarre, you know. So when the kids go to bed at night, a lot of them sleep on the floor, by the way. A lot of them don't have beds, or the room's too small. They might have a bed for one child, and a couple of kids sleep on the floor, which does sound kind of bad, but that's just the way that they live. I mean, obviously, they'd love more room and more beds, but, you know, it's not... I don't want to paint too much of a grim picture, because these people they're fairly happy, they're content with what you know, and they do live. They don't just exist, they do live. But absolutely, if you put a net around the bed and you teach people how to use it, then when you go to bed at night, the risk of being bitten is just decreases massively. So, yeah, in theory, I mean, there's 500,000 nets being given out in the area, in Uganda. So that will, if you think about it, that it's going to save, there's no doubt about it. If people listening, if you gave us some money, if you gave us at least a fiver, absolutely, it's going to save thousands and thousands of lives. It really, really is.
But even if you gave out 10 nets, so you know that's ten families or 10 people who hopefully will be protected from it. Whether it's 10, 100, 1,000, it can only be a good thing, can't it?
And there might be a few kids in one bed, so that might be one net covering a bed which has got three kids in it. Mm. And then the next bed might cover two kids. So that's five kids from two nets. So if you work out the math like that, I mean, you know, it is... I mean, it's not... us climbing that mountain, raising some money and giving out some nets, it's not going to stop malaria, full stop. But we're adding to already work being done by the Malaria Consortium and other people like that. So it's all... Hey!
Oh, another listener.
Tuning in there. What was that? Oh, he just shouted out, "We love you, Vernon."
Did he?
There you go.
Did he say the golden hour's 1994?
No, he didn't. He said he loves 50 Cent. He can't wait to get 50 Cent on. So, but no, look, the bottom line of it is thank you if you did give us some money. And if you haven't done anything yet, then Sport Relief are doing the big Sport Relief miles again. If you've never run before, then, you know, you can do your little bit and run a mile. Because if you're not used to running, we've been talking about running a lot, obviously, this year, but if you're not used to running a mile, it's tougher than you think. And if you do run, then maybe do three or six. And the Sport Relief miles are going to be happening again. Do you remember we did it a few years ago?
Around Wembley.
We had the Moyles Mile and the Mills Mile. Yeah, but then we did the other ones as well. So, and then we ran with Tony Blair around Chequers, which Ben just reminded me of, which is a very surreal day. So that's going to be happening again. So if you want to sign up for it, it's sportrelief.com. And I think me and Vernon Kay are going to run a mile together. He doesn't know much about this yet, but he's always ribbing me about training. So I think, Vernon, your choice of 1, 3, or 6 miles, 10K, what do you want to do?
I'll run 3 with you.
6.
I'll do 6 mile with you. I'll even give you a 5 mile start, and I'll still beat you.
I bet you £1,000 that doesn't happen.
Oh, easy. Just get a scooter. Get one of Addison Lee's.
Give me a lift. Seriously. I bet you my mortgage that if you gave Alan a 5 mile start and a 6 mile run, that Alan would beat you if he crawled on his hands and knees. That's the easiest money I've ever seen.
They weren't listening. Listen, Chris, thank you very much for all your reports this week. We really appreciate it,
no worries.
Does the listener. We've had loads of great feedback on text and email and what have you. Safe journey back. You'll be back on Monday on the big show, on the breakfast show.
Can we ask a couple of questions before we go?
Quickly.
Yeah. All right, number one, why was there no Christmas song at 8 o'clock after the 8 o'clock news?
It was...
I can't tell you how you've massively disappointed
we
your
did it
African
earlier.
Audience, because we've loved it. I did. Well, why
played
did
it at half
it?
Seven.
I liked it at 8. It was, we've got used to hearing that every day. We've really enjoyed it.
Well, we've got a busy show. We've got yourself and 50 is in the live lounge as we speak.
Just remember, repetition makes reputation. That's all I'm telling you.
Hey, we know that because people were asking where Angelo was on Wednesday.
Thursday.
And he wasn't in his slot on Thursday. Yeah, regular listener.
On Wednesday, and the answer is he's not until tomorrow.
Exactly. Listen, Chris, safe journey back, and we'll speak to you soon. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Aled, what do you want to say?
Bye.
Brilliant. Bye.
Well done. Bye-bye.
So there you go. Saving lives in Uganda. There you go, Chipmunk. Look for me on BBC Radio 1. Good news!
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, good stuff. Right.
Chris just said, by the way, that he forgot to say hello to Fern, because Fern and Kimberly came back yesterday, I think it was.
They did, indeed.
So Fern, I think, will be listening to the show on her way back from the airport. So good morning, Fern, and like Kimberly, well done for everything this week.
Exactly. All of you. Morning, super. Fern. Yeah, and well done to Gary for putting it all together. It must be nice for Gary, you know, because he started off the project of climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and now he came home on Wednesday, and it must be a nice little bit of closure.
Yes, I think
so.
You know,
start the year climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, end the year looking at the results, and now everything's paid off, so all good in the hood. 50 Cent's coming into the studio after the news for a chat.
He's next door, primed and ready. Well, actually, do you know what? He's talking to Matt Fincham at the moment, so we'll have to, you know, get him into a good mood after.
Well, to be honest with you, I think we might have to stop him walking out the building if he's just spent the last 15 minutes with Matt Fincham. It's going to be a tough one. The Chris Moyle Show. Our guest today is 50 Cent. Yes!
Woo! Radio 1. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, 50 Cent.
It's been a long time, man.
It has been a long time. How are you?
It's great, man. It feels good, man. How's Tess doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah, man. Tell the family I send my love.
I will. And thank you for everything that you've sent us. And it's lovely to see you outside. It's lovely to see you at work.
Yeah, man. I'm back in motion. You know, I had more time on this actual album to prepare myself. So, you know, I'm excited about this presentation. You know, because I had additional time, I wrote, produced, and directed my first film project. And it's being distributed within the actual CD package, you know, my directorial debut. But I got a lot of things happening. I started my own film company, Cheetah Vision. So,
one thing that always amazes me, 50, is you came onto the scene as a rapper that everyone was talking about.
Right.
Okay, you hit the ground running, quite literally. You know, you had Dr. Dre in your corner, Eminem as well.
Yeah.
And now the whole 50 Cent brand, so to speak,
is expanding.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm active. I've been more interested in brand extension, obviously, than M and Dre. Mm. You know, they made so much money off of music that they didn't even bother to look at the other money. They was like, why? You know, like, you know, and for me, like, when I came out with Get Rich or Die Trying, I mean, it was a whirlwind of excitement for me. You know, having your debut album, your first album, be the largest debut in hip-hop album, and it goes on to sell 12 million records, it's like, wow, you know. And, you know, having them around me helped me.
How do you look after yourself? How do you keep everything self-contained? How do you stop your ego just exploding when you've got an album like that? I mean, when I first met you, you just signed the deal for the Vitamin Water campaign, you know, and all that, and then you got the shoe company as well, and loads of things. How do you keep yourself to yourself, so to speak?
Well, you know, like, because I've had people around me who've had more success. Like, people forget Eminem, that Marshall Mathers LP sold 23 million records. So it made me feel like I was a work in progress, and that, you know, I could be bigger. You know, and I constantly worked at writing new material, and I put it out even for promotional purposes, because I kind of feel like it's just working out. It's training for the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make sure that the actual project, when I release it commercially, is right. And this album, for me, because there's a balance between creating a great album for me, just because of my presentation initially, the aggression translated so strong that I have to have the right material that isn't commercial music.
Well, I've listened to the album a couple of times, okay, 50 Cent, before I self-destruct, and this seems probably the most personal stuff that you've ever written.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there, only personal stuff with your family background and this, that and the other, but also other people. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of people in there who, if they listen to the album, are going to think,
I'm almost sure that's about me.
That's going to happen a lot.
Because I
it's not about you, is it, Vern?
No. Hey, nah. We get on fine.
Fine.
We get on fine. Okay?
Just checking.
But I listened to it in a small space. I listened to it in my car, okay, about half a dozen times. And I'm listening over and over again, and I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. You've literally opened up to the world, and you've written everything down and put beats behind it. Is that something? Is it like going to confession? Do you want to just get it all out there, clear the air, or is it something that you want to start over again?
It's pretty tough for me to write, Vern, if I'm not writing something that comes from somewhere with me.
But like, this is deep.
Yeah, like that record for me, like so disrespectful. I dealt with people that I've supported that turned on me. I felt like I wrote. Then days went by. I wrote about people having vices around me, like. I didn't drink because I'm an extremist, Ferns, obviously. You see how much I work, almost like a workaholic.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I get high, I'm going to get really high.
Right.
Like, I understand, so I stay away from it completely. I just know myself, my character.
And it works for you, so that's the way you go, yeah.
So I stay away from it as much as possible. I don't even put myself in the same vicinity with it because I know, like, I don't believe I'll be able to control it. I've seen some people be functional addicts.
Right.
And I don't believe I'm one of those people.
So are you someone, so when you go on stage, I would imagine at the moment, that's the ultimate high for you, performing
in
front of a live.
The first 30 seconds, I am completely scared.
Really? I don't believe
still?
That.
Still?
Yeah, it takes like 30 seconds into the first song before something mechanical starts
to kick
in. And I'm just like, I'm the same guy from the last 50 shows. Perform
but it's good. It's good though to still have those nerves. I suppose you know.
Right,
I mean, all these years on.
I think if you don't have it, you should stop.
Yeah.
You know, I think then you no longer care about how the audience receives your performance because there's a difference in every audience. There's different people there, and they're in different positions and spaces, so they influence each other differently. So the excitement is different in every room.
I'll tell you what. When we were in Palm Beach and I witnessed your show. Live in full effect with everyone around you, all the effects on stage in the amphitheatre that was there. Beautiful arena, actually. I couldn't believe the atmosphere. Okay, because I've been to rock gigs, I've been to a few rap gigs, few R&B gigs before, but the atmosphere, the tension in the air before you came on stage was something that I've never experienced before, and it really took me aback. I was like, whoa!
You know, it's interesting, out of all the places that I performed, I choose anywhere but America.
What is your favorite places?
Yeah.
So America's never high on your list of favorites to perform?
No, it was it in my head until I had a chance to tour internationally and see, you know, what was there. Like, even the Curtis album for me, like that project was an artist album where I collaborated with Justin Timberlake, with Mary J. Blige, with Nicole from Pussycat Dolls, Akon, Eminem, Robin Thicke. Like, there's a bunch of artists that I collaborated with to try and find a new space, a new sound. And if you listen to AO Technology, I use a cadence on that record that I don't use on any other of my records because this is a tempo and production that would probably be something more commonly used by Justin than 50 Cent.
Right. Yeah.
But it just felt good when we was in there together collaborating, so we made the record.
How does it work? Going back to what Vernon was saying about the album and being sort of very personal from a writing perspective, when you've got your fingers in so many pies, you know, and we're talking about movies, we're talking about music, we're talking
about
the games,
clothing.
Everything, you know, and you must be left, right and centre from one meeting to the other and jetting around the world.
Sorry to interrupt, Dave. You know what's going to happen?
What?
Right? People are going to walk into sections of land and it will be, you're now breathing air by 50 Cent.
Welcome to 50 Cent. County.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing is, when you're doing all of this, do you find, are you writing constantly or do you have to sort of pigeonhole it? I.e., will you kind of say, right, we're going to promote the movie until Christmas and then I'm going to write for... Do you do it in sections or is it a constant system?
Well, wherever I'm inspired. Like, you might see me on the airplane.
Just sort of jot some stuff down.
Yeah, and you'll look at me and I'll be writing on something that ain't even a notepad.
Yeah. A napkin
on
or
the
something.
Back. Yeah, and I'll be putting my ideas down at that point. And you know what it's like for me, I didn't have the luxury of always writing in a studio. You know,
I've seen it. I've witnessed it. You know, whenever 50 and the gang go on tour, they have mobile studios.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have a mobile truck that I had.
It's awesome.
Done that. And now, like, when for the end of the year, from December 27th till February, when I start touring, I'll be on movie sets because I got a film project called A Gun. It's set to star myself and Val Kilmer, and I actually wrote the screenplay this time. So I'm excited about that. And following that, I start Jekyll and Hyde as myself and Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
Abel Ferrara is directing that project. And then I'll be back touring. But for those that time period in Michigan, I'll have my mobile studio out there. So I'll record in between time, you know.
On the rare occasion that you do get a day off, and I would imagine that that's very rare, what do you do? If someone says, right, Saturday you're doing nothing, what do you do?
I do something that would, for relaxation, it could be considered research for work. Because I still have the same things that you enjoy when you're relaxing. So I might sit back and just watch television and be inspired to write something or inspired to do something. Something like what I'm watching in film. It's so exciting to have the ability to say, I want to make something like this. Even if it's not me, if I don't have the capability of doing it, to say, I want to make that show.
I can imagine you walking into the kitchen, you know, like, with a juicer and going, you know what, I'm going to make up a new flavor for my vitamin water.
You know what I do? How about I be walking in with the juicer saying, I want to make a new juicer.
There you go. All right, we'll play Baby By Me by 50 Cent, today's guest, and then we'll have more chat after this. Baby By Me, 50 Cent, today's guest.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we've had an off-air conversation where
it's amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Amazing insight.
We talked about what tracks are on this album, and we talked about what tracks have been on previous stuff, previous material, and how this one is more honest because it's all about the past.
Right.
Where you're able to talk about the past because people now know who you are, 50 Cent,
right,
so to speak.
They know that I made some money.
Yeah. You know, and so you don't have to think about bling and cash and all that kind of stuff.
That was why it was more important for me to focus on how far I've came and the struggle. You'll see a significance in it. And when you get to that point, because you got so many artists that are writing a lifestyle that they inspire to live, they're not actually living that life. And this is why they require things that they don't have for their presentation. Meaning the nice cars, those pretty girls, and the really hot mansion in the video. Yeah. And then they say cut, and everybody goes home. Because you're not really in that space.
Go home to reality.
But they desperately want to be in that space.
Right. You know? And while they're writing the luxury that I've achieved over the last 6 years, the financial space, I'm writing the struggle.
So they want everything.
The opposite. Yeah.
They want everything too fast, don't they? That's the thing. You know, they want it straight away. They want it now, you know? And
But it kind of makes me feel funny to say that when we say they, because I was a part of that.
In the beginning,
to be honest with you, in 90, I thought I was ready in 97.
We've seen the In The Club video.
Yeah, I thought I was hot in 1997, and only people in 10 blocks around me understood. You know what I mean? Like in a 10 block radius there, I had a little cool on me in 97. And then 99, like when Jam Master Jay's touring schedule was too hectic for him to, you know, focus on me, I went to work with Columbia Records in 99, and I mean, it didn't work there neither. Like, I was there, but at least I had the opportunity of...
But I tell you what, they must be like this now. Don't!
Yeah, they're kicking themselves in the ass, because they let me... In 09, like, when I went there, I mean, in 99, I wrote How to Rob. You know, you don't get a second chance at a first impression, and that song is still remembered in different ways because of what I decided to do on that. And, man, it worked out. Like, after I got shot, at least they let me come to the building. I was in the building every day like an intern. They just couldn't send me to the store.
Oh, okay.
So I knew it. I knew everybody's job function. I knew who was working, who wasn't working. This is how I started to learn, like, the music business. There ain't no school for this.
No. You got experience.
Yeah. But also,
how's the transgression from having hit albums, hit singles, into movies? How has that happened? Has that been something that's always been at the back of your mind?
You know, I think it's the storytelling process that I'm infatuated with right now. Like, I've had to tell you a story in 3 minutes on every song that I've offered. You know, and now this is giving me 90 minutes. I feel like I have years to tell you what I have to tell you in the actual screenplay. So when I wrote Before I Self-Destruct the film, it allowed me to develop cause and effect, reasoning for a person to, you know, to create an example of how a person regresses to the point that the things that I'm saying on the actual record are factual and it doesn't feel abnormal. the behaviors. Like, the character I play, Clarence, in actual film, he's killing people, and it feels like it's the norm. Because the pressure that was placed on him before he actually broke and started to kill people made him feel like it was the only option. Hmm. And the audience felt that also. So there was points that I screened the film in like 15 and really big movie theaters in 15 different markets while I was on promo tour. And the audience was clapping when he made the first kill. And that's when I know that I developed the story properly. Hmm. That they understood the pressure that he was going through before. They had some compassion for the lead character before he actually went off into the wrong direction.
And to be able to do that, and to be able to do that successfully, tell a story not only in 3 minutes, but also 90 minutes, I mean, the world's your oyster, really,
it
if you look
good.
At movies.
Like, I mean, in film, you know, it's absolutely limited. There's no limitations at all.
Hmm.
I mean, like, there's... I said that wrong. I said it's limited. There's absolutely
unlimited.
No
unlimited.
Yes, unlimited. And there's standards that's placed on music that don't even exist in film. Like, the things that they would say is wrong with hip-hop culture, there's a movie as representation of it.
There's a movie in it, yeah, exactly. All right, definitely. And on a lighter note, we recently read, Dave and I, and we couldn't believe this, about this 25 grand that you carry on yourself. Is that true?
I usually have a few dollars with me.
But $25,000? That's more than a few.
Oh! Yeah, baby! Oh, you the man!
You really have.
I knew it, and it's just been clarified.
Dave, grab the coat.
No!
Hang
on, have you seen the size of him?
Grab the coat.
Hey, listen, do you know...
How often do you work out? How often do you go to the gym?
I try to get in there at least 4 times a week.
Right.
Out the week, because I
try... The boy's ripped!
I be traveling a lot, so that'd be working me out before I can get to the gym.
Dave, you won't be able to get within five inches of that.
Oh, look at that over there. Yeah. Quick, Dave, go.
Go, get it.
There's not a chance. I mean, do you know what? Okay, I will try and sit a bit closer over here. To
yeah.
Yeah. See him, but it's not happening.
Have you seen the Christmas tree?
It's not happening.
50, I like the way you roll.
I'm trying to do it, you know?
That is quality. Absolute quality. Mine would be all tatty. You know, a fiver stashed in the corner of me wallet.
I mean, if we just...
Those were crisp!
If we compare, Vernon, right? Look at that. That's pitiful, isn't it? Yeah. I've got a contact lens.
Yeah. See, there you go.
A 20 quid and a 5p in my house keys.
There you go.
It's not
unbelievable. What do you think of the British music scene at the moment? I mean, Dizzy Rascal flying, doing all kind of different remixes with Armin van Helden and what have you. And
I see, you know, I see people making an effort to grow hip-hop culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, those collaborations with Dizzy Rascal and the guy you just mentioned. And a lot of times, like, I did the same thing. I did it with Wisin Yandel. Because I was recently in a lot of Spanish-speaking markets. I did Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Medellin, Colombia, and Brazil, and Chile. And while I was out there, like, we were actually collaborating with each other. And then we came back, and they did a remix to Rider Part 2.
Right.
During the TOS album from G-Unit Records, so... I went back and we did Mojitos in a club. So, you know, I look forward to doing some type of collaboration with an artist out here, the right artist, though. Hmm. I have to figure out who is that person. Or
Folk Fest, I do believe, are available, Dev.
Do you know what? Possibly. We possibly have availability. This is a band that myself and Dominic next door have. But I'm not sure that you and Folk would be the right collaboration. But
I'm sure that 50 could lay down some rhymes.
Maybe.
To the old Folk Fest backing track.
Well, maybe we'll work on it after Christmas. I mean, talking of, how do you spend Christmas? What's the plan now? When you get back, will you have a big sort of family kind of Christmas? Or?
Well, you know, I'll be exhausted during Christmas from playing Santa Claus. You know? And that is like, I gotta run around and try to find things for these people. Yeah. And it's interesting, like, there's certain people that I have to pick what is purchased for them in my life, and other people I can send people out to just buy something and it's cool.
To be honest with you, with what we've just seen, you can buy whatever you want.
I mean, when you say, have you been good this year, I'd imagine that most people say yes, don't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we have, Mr.
Yes. Yeah. What's your favourite sport? What sports do you follow? I see you're wearing a Kansas City Chiefs hat.
Yeah, well, you know, this is just really for the outfit. I ain't a big Kansas.
You're not a big Kansas fan.
So, but are you football, baseball, ice hockey, basketball?
I like to watch different sports. You know what's interesting? And I probably shouldn't say this, but I really enjoy the finals.
Right. I thought you would, because we've been talking about the World Cup finals.
Yeah.
Obviously, you collaborated with Ashley Cole and Rio Ferdinand on a movie. Did you get to see any football games?
I'm going to see a football game tomorrow.
Who are you going to go and see?
Manchester United.
Who are they playing, Dev?
Good question. I knew you were going to ask me that. Hang on.
Is it Blackburn? For some reason, Blackburn coming right. You'll enjoy that. Is it in Manchester?
It's going to be big, yeah.
Oh, it's a great stadium as well and a great atmosphere. Quick, Dev, quick.
Hang on.
81199.
The race to see.
You can tell we're both not Man United fans.
Tomorrow they have got...
We've got Arsenal.
West Ham.
Oh, that'd be a good game.
Yeah, West Ham away.
Oh, okay, so it's at Upton Park.
Oh, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, good luck with that. You'll have a great time.
That's a side of London that you probably haven't seen.
I'll tell you what, when you go to said stadium to see Man United play West Ham, you will see, especially at Upton Park, football, soccer, in its greatest form.
Mm. Yeah.
You really will.
I want to see it. You know, every place that I go internationally, soccer means so much more than all that other sports. You know, in the U.S., basketball is big. You know, the football is big. It's a different game. It's not even the same as soccer.
But when you go to South America or Africa or Asia or whatever.
The rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, is everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's so big. Like, I actually was shooting a movie in Morocco. And it's amazing what they do. Like, all they need is a ball.
Football.
And yeah, it was so many kids out there. It was like 200 kids. They just came together, and I was like, where the hell did they come from? Because in the area we was in, there was no houses, no nothing. Mm. They came from wherever they was coming from. They met up out there to play.
That's football for you. But Upton Park will be a great introduction
to
the Premier League.
It'll be interesting, obviously, because I would imagine that you're going as a guest of Rio, who's obviously Manchester United. He used to play for West Ham as well, so this would be, you know, going back to his old club, so it'll be interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, cool. Listen, 50, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you again. The album, 50 Cent, Before I Self-Destruct, you have to get it because it's a great introduction to 50's life and everything that you've been through prior to all that cash that's in your pockets. It's a great story. So it's highly recommended from us here on The Breakfast Show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. 50 Cent, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, Big Stevie on Radio 1. What a great way to end the show, great way to end the week. I thank you for all your texts that you've sent in throughout the past several days. I really, really appreciate it. Merci beaucoup.
Sorry, my song was rubbish.
It was beyond
rubbish, Dave.
Yeah.
It was rubbish, wasn't it? Did I really choose that, Matt?
It was complete pop.
Yeah, it was on your list.
Was it?
It was on the list.
Having a dark day.
Big thanks to 50 Cent for coming in for a chat. Appreciate that. Big thanks to all our guests this week. All the Mount Kilimanjaro climbers. Big thanks to the team. I've thoroughly enjoyed being here. You're
what
so
up,
special.
Thank you, Ben.
On tomorrow's show, being Saturday, we've got the maths question as per usual, and Harry Hill's coming in for a chat.
Wow.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, you've done a lovely job, Vernon, may I say.
Thank you very much, Coxie. Yeah. Hey, back at you, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that. Thank you. And back at you again. Oh, yeah. Once again. Let's see it for Vernon.
It's like Bolton ping pong.
Yeah, back over to Sarah Cox, everyone.
Yeah.
And back at Vernon. Yeah. Yeah. And one more time!
Grow up.
Yeah, we weren't that buddy good. Hey, we're nice having Fiddy in today.
Oh, what a lovely guy.
Hey, you know, every time you've talked about him, I thought you were completely messing about and I didn't know you actually knew him. Then he comes on air and he's like, how's Tess? How's the family? Brilliant. It was nice.
Oh, he's a really, really nice fella. What you see on stage and in those videos... Nothing compared to the real person that he is.
I interviewed him a while ago for the last movie he did, I think, the one before this one. And he's as Curtis Jackson. And he was very, very nice. He was very lovely. Mm, big nice hands, guy. I was saying on the show yesterday. Big hands. A bit
well, you
like,
know what they say about men with big hands?
Big gloves.
Yeah. Big gloves, yeah.
Yep.
Long manicures. and he had hands like one of the Transformers, like they folded around my waist, which was considerably smaller at the time. He wouldn't be able to get around there now. Like, but no, very nice man. Good show today. You have got a nice weekend planned, so you're on again tomorrow, Vern?
On again tomorrow, yeah. And then, to be honest with you, I'm going to have a fat week.
Oh,
where
yeah?
I'm just going to eat rubbish food for 7 days.
Oh, you
because your body clock goes off kilter. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So you go a bit weird, and I've not eaten properly for the past 5 days, so I'm gonna just buy junk.
You're wasting away.
Exactly.
Are you going to be doing a bit of golfing?
No, because it's too cold.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll probably find an indoor driving range. Or I may purchase some of those hand warmers, you know what I mean? You know those things that you shake up and you put in your gloves?
Oh, those big tea bags.
Yeah, the big tea bags, yeah.
They yeah, were massive good, back in the day, weren't they?
They really worked.
I got some of them, actually.
Yeah,
have.
They're good.
Have you? You could stitch together an entire trouser suit out of
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
It'd be
like
lovely,
a whole
it?
Warm suit.
That'd be lovely to do.
I made the big mistake once of putting one of them in my underpants.
Did you?
Oh. Not good.
Tingle.
Not
makes good. You feel like you wet yourself, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, I tell you what.
Yeah. Oh, on that image.
This yeah. is like age concern hour or something.
Wrap up warm.
Yeah. Ooh, it's proper nippy.
It really is. Hey, Sarah, what you should do is during your show, if you're saying or talking or playing any random music, just take a look into the live lounge and you can tell how random you're getting by the reaction from 50s people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very funny. Weird. During that last half hour where the team played their own tunes for the Golden Hour, they were like, what?
It's when Dave dropped Extreme.
They weren't into Extreme, were they?
Too avant-garde.
What about Carrie singing? That was a lovely moment, that
yeah,
was.
Not in my left ear, it wasn't.
There's no filter on a pregnant woman, no filter.
No, it was a beautiful thing. Enjoy your weekend.
And you, Sarah.
Thank you, bye.
Once again, for Vernon Kelly.
Sarah Cox, everyone! Yay!